Hi, this is Eric, lead pastor at Hillside Assembly, and I'm speaking to you from my home this morning, and that's because I'm still recovering from the COVID virus. These have been difficult and challenging days for sure. A few weeks ago, we decided to go online virtual worship experience only for a few weeks, and in the process of doing that, a bunch of us got sick, and so I want to thank God first and foremost for giving us the wisdom and insight to make the moves and decisions that we did when we did. I definitely see his divine hand leading us and positioning us for greatness and to be able to get through this season. So just to let you kind of know where we're at, I am still in quarantine. I should be coming out of quarantine on Monday. As long as I'm fever free and Pam is fever free, I'll be coming out on Monday. Pam is in quarantine through till Thursday. Riley has been sick on and off the last few weeks, and that's been very difficult as well. We're still dealing with some issues. For me, I still have the COVID fog, and I get short of breath really easy, winded, and they say that can last for several more weeks. And so we're going to continue the road to recovery. Pam is several days behind me as far as recovery, but she is improving. She just sounds really sick right now. And so we want to remember them in our prayers. I know this has hit a lot of other people in our church as well. Anthony's been in quarantine for almost a month, and he just got out on Friday. So excited for you, buddy. And I'm glad that you and your wife are doing so well. Mike and Nancy Nichols had COVID, and Mike got double pneumonia, and he's in the process of recovering from that. He is improving. So praise God. Mike's mom was diagnosed with COVID, taken by ambulance to the hospital, and she's resting well, and she continues to recover day by day. And so we want to pray for her continued recovery. But also this last week, we've had some losses. And so Jackie Wiggers, who is our children's coordinator, our children's pastor for our church, her mom passed away from COVID this last week. That's been a difficult time for both Joe and Jackie. They've both lost their moms in the season to COVID. And there's so many in our community that have been rocked by this, lost loved ones, dealing with health issues from this. There's pain and hurt, just seems like everywhere. But I want to tell you that there is great hope, that Jesus has not left us. And that I know while the days ahead will be challenging, the weeks ahead and months ahead will be challenging for us as a church, we will come out the other side victorious. God's never left us. He's always led us through this. Our church has never reacted, but we've always responded. And when God speaks, we've done our best to be obedient. And it always seems that God keeps us just a step ahead of where we need to be. And I believe that will be true in this season as well. I will be meeting virtually with the church board this coming week, and we'll make a decision. And next Sunday, I will lay out for you what ministry will look like for the next few months. This winter season will be difficult. It will be challenging, but we are going to get through it. So we would love to have you pray for us. And here's what I can promise you. We're going to ask God to give us wisdom, to give us guidance. And then when God speaks to us, we're going to execute the plan that he gives us. That's what I can promise you this morning, is we will be faithful to honor God and to do our best to follow him in what he speaks to us. So for this Sunday, obviously, we're virtual only. Next Sunday, we'll be virtual only. And then next Sunday, I'll lay out for you where we'll be at moving forward. I don't want to take just a moment before I introduce our speaker today. There's been so many people that have been so intricate in the last few weeks in helping us out. And I just want to take a moment to thank them. First and foremost, I want to thank Dave. Dave, you have been so crucial to this thing. I know the pressure of feeling like when everybody else was dropping like flies, for you to stay healthy and keep things moving forward. I just want to thank you so much for your service to us. We love you and Jess and your three kids. You have been such a blessing to us in this season, and I hope that we can express our love to you in a way that you feel and understand that. And help is on the way, brother. So we've got some help that's going to be able to come back and help you along with the tech side of things at church. So I'm excited about that in the days ahead. I want to thank Nick Tun, who's been with us as a college student. Nick, we've seen you rededicate your life to Christ. We've seen you water baptized. We've seen you get a call to missions. And now you're walking through that to figure out how to get to the mission field where God's called you to. And I know that this is your last season here at Ripon College. And now you're headed home. And Nick will be be leaving us. He's already connected with an Assemblies of God church in his hometown and said that he wants to help and serve them and to come on board. And I think the experiences that he's had working on our tech team and things will help him be able to help that church. And so, Nick, we love you. We're going to pray for you. And just know that this will always be a place that you can call home. And we're excited. And as you open those doors to the mission field, brother, our church is going to be there to help send you out. And so we love you so much, Nick. Thank you for your service. I want to thank Hannah Olson, who's been helping us out in the church office. She has knocked it out of the park as our office administrator. And she will be leaving us for 2 months to go home over winter break. In the meantime, Hannah Helf, we know this is going to be very confusing. Hannah Olson is leaving us for 2 months. Hannah Helf has agreed to step in and help us out in the office. So if you call and you're still going to hear Hannah, it's just going to be a different voice. Don't get too confused. So thank you both ladies for the excellence that you bring to our church, and your service to me is phenomenal. And so thank you so much for that. And I want to thank Amandy for last week for helping us out. Great ministry partner. She brought an awesome word from God. And today, Luke Hatfield is with us, another one of our ministry partners, a college pastor to Ripon College. Luke, it's such a blessing to have you as a friend and to be partners in ministry together, brother. And I know that you've got a powerful word for us. And I've spent far too long talking today. So I'm very excited for you to bring the word. But if I can do one last thing with you, church family, if I can pray with you, because that's the key to this whole thing. It is not about us or our vision or executing our plans. It is about hearing the voice of God and executing what he is speaking to us, being obedient to his word. And that is what will bring success in this season. So let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to our church, to our people, and to our community. While it has been a very difficult last month, God, you are still faithful. Your mercies are still new every morning. And God, we thank you for the power and the wisdom and the vision that you have given to our church family and to our community to weather this storm. Lord, we thank you for our tremendous partnerships with so many, the gifts and talents that you've given us in this church. Lord, some have been for a season, but Lord, others, such a long haul. And Lord, we thank you, God, for Mandy and for Luke. Lord, as their service to our church has farther than probably they could ever have imagined. And we are so grateful to be able to partner with them for success on the college campus to share and reconcile students to Christ. Lord, we thank you this morning for the word that you've put in Luke. Lord, I believe that the word you've given him is for us for this season, for this day. So, Lord, would you help us to hear your word and to be obedient? Lord, would you be with our board this week, Lord God, as we meet together? And, Lord, as we seek your face on how we're to do ministry in the coming weeks and months in this very difficult winter season. Lord, I believe that come spring and summer that there is still a great harvest to be brought in. And Lord, even in this winter season, I still believe that there are those to be touched by the gospel in ways we could not even imagine. Lord, help us to execute what you've called us to do, or your mission, Lord, to preach the gospel and to reach the lost. Lord, we pray for those who are hurting, those who are sick, that God, your spirit would be upon them this morning, that God, you would be our Savior, you would be our King, you would be our hope, that we would fix our eyes upon you and your word, and that, Lord, we would walk faithfully forward. Lord, help us to be faithful and not fearful. Help us to be faithful and not foolish. Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, spent more than enough time with me this morning. We're going to have Luke out here. He's going to bring the gospel message today. And hopefully next Sunday, we'll have some type of musical component back in service. So thanks for spending time with me this morning. Luke, bring the word of God, brother. It's so great to have you with us this morning. Have a great day, church. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, good morning. My name is Luke Hatfield, and I want to welcome you to Hillside Assembly Church. We're obviously online, and so I want to welcome those of you who are watching on Facebook Live or listening on the radio at 90.1 FM. And so I just wanted to introduce myself. I am one of the missionaries that Hillside Assembly partners with. I'm a missionary to Ripon College, and I'm serving in my ninth year there with a college ministry called His House Christian Fellowship. And so we're just finishing up the semester there, and it's been such a blessing because we've been able to be in person with students all semester. And so we just did a Build Your Own Care Package event. That was awesome. We had 270 care packages made or taken by students. And we had the Ripon Area Ministerial Association put out a devotional for Advent. And so we had 43 of those taken by students. And so we're just excited by what God is doing at Ripon College. And we're so thankful. My family and I and my partner in ministry, Mandy, we just want to thank you so much for your partnership with us as we seek to live with, love, and point students to Jesus at Ripon College. And so thank you so, so much. And so we're going to dig into God's word today. And so I'm going to start by praying, and then we'll dig in together. So I'm looking forward to our time. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that even though we are physically distanced, you are never distant from us. And thank you that even when we're physically distanced, our nearness to you makes us family in Christ. Thank you so much that we can have brothers and sisters throughout the world that are worshiping in all different places, in all different ways, that are trusting in you, Jesus, that are seeking you with us. And so it's just incredible to think of the body of Christ around the world. And so I thank you for the technology that allows us to come together. We thank you for the incredible gift of your word. Thank you that your word is truth, and we pray that you would sanctify us, set us apart for your use through your word. Thank you for the word made flesh, Jesus. Thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And as we prepare, as we look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we're reminded of this Advent season when we prepare our hearts to celebrate your coming. What an incredible gift, the best gift of all, you. And so thank you, Jesus. I pray that you'd be with us now during this time. I pray that you would open our hearts. I pray that we would be sensitive and open and responsive to your Spirit's leading. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, I am excited to jump into God's word. But before I tell you what passage we're going to be looking at today, I'm actually recording this on Friday afternoon. And tomorrow morning, I plan to be out in the woods hunting. And I'm guessing that probably by the time some of you listen to this, maybe you will have shot a buck or a doe, and you will have spent some time out in the woods. I know hunting is a big part of Wisconsin culture, and it's something that I've grown up with. And so I love this opportunity to be out in nature. And I know that if you talk to a lot of people, they worship in their deer stands or in their duck blinds, or they love being a part of nature. But I wonder if some of you hunters can relate to this story where you get out into your stand and it's still dark and you can hear things in the woods. Once you get settled in, you wonder about some rustling of the leaves either behind you or in front of you. You can't really see anything. And then the light very slowly starts to kind of fade in, and you still can't really make things out. You're still hearing noises. You're seeing shapes, maybe catching some movement, and all of a sudden, you see something. Maybe it's about 75, 100 yards out in the woods, and it's this horizontal line, and you see some other things sticking up, and you think you see movement, and so your heart starts to beat faster, and you're watching, and you can't. You're not sure, and so sometimes you'll kind of look away, and then you'll bring your attention back to that spot, and yeah, there it is again. Oh, did it just move? And as the light grows, you realize it was just a stump, or it was just a log, and just some sticks or a clump of grass, and you thought it was a big buck, and it was just a piece of the scenery. And so the reason I use this illustration is because we're going to see in our passage today a warning that we not be fooled or taken captive by certain things in the world as we seek to follow Jesus. And so I would love it if you would turn with me in your Bibles or flip on your phone or pull it up on your computer. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 23. So Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 23. And so this is the Apostle Paul, and he is writing to the church at Colossae. And he's giving them instructions about what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so we're going to see kind of this primary command that really controls the rest of the book of Colossians in verse 6. But then we're going to be looking at three specific things that we actually need to avoid or beware of so that we can follow Jesus clearly and as God intends us. So again, turn with me in Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 6, and I'm going to read all the way through the end of the chapter to verse 23. So follow along with me as I read Colossians 2, starting in verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. There's that command, walk in him. And really, the rest of the book of Colossians is Paul explaining to us what it looks like to walk in Jesus. And so he continues in verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Whew, even right there, I could do the whole sermon just on those different phrases. And these are some positive ways that we are to walk in Christ Jesus. And I want to go back all the way to the beginning of verse 6. There's this little phrase, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And it's important to consider, well, how did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? We received him by grace through faith. And one of the problems that Paul was often writing about in these churches and letters to churches and that the church was dealing with in the first century, but that we still deal with today, is thinking that we have to somehow earn our salvation, that we have to earn our position with God. But that's not the gospel. That's legalism. And Jesus hated it and preached against it and had problems with the Pharisees because of it. Paul hated it and preached against it and had problems in the early church because of it. And we still have this problem today. And it's because of our human nature, our sinfulness, and our pride that we think that we can be good enough. We want to earn it. And our whole world tells us that we have to earn. Whatever you do, you got to work for. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, I work with college students, and college students are definitely presented with this mentality that you got to earn your grade, you got to earn your job, you got to earn, you got to do. And we know that in life, hard work is often rewarded. And that's not a bad thing. Hard work is a good gift from God, but it is not how we are saved. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, Jesus had to come. What we're celebrating at Christmas, the reason the incarnation happened is so that the crucifixion could happen and the resurrection could happen, because there was no other way for us to be saved. If there was another way, Jesus would not have had to die for us. If we could earn our salvation, then Jesus would not have come and died. But we could not and cannot earn our salvation. We are sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of our sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. And so the only thing our works earn us is hell and judgment. But praise God that Jesus came and he lived the perfect life that we could never live. He obeyed God perfectly at every opportunity. both in not doing what God had forbidden and in perfectly carrying out God's will. And then instead of taking the reward he deserved and going to heaven and receiving that reward and being restored to the fellowship that he had had with his Father from eternity past, instead of doing that, first Jesus went to the cross and he received the penalty that we deserved for our sins, and he paid it in full. He died for our sins. And then he rose again from the dead 3 days later because death couldn't stop him, because his payment was full, and it proved that God accepted his payment. And so as we received Christ Jesus the Lord, we receive it as a free gift from God. So not only do we get forgiven because Jesus died for our sins, but when we trust in Jesus, we are given, we're credited his righteousness. And so now God sees us through Christ. He sees us as righteous. So when God said at Jesus' baptism, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased," that's now what he says of all who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. He says that of us. And it's not because of what we have done. It's because of what Christ has done for us. And so we have to always remember that as Christians, that we never move beyond the gospel, that we never graduate from grace, that we need God's grace and we need Jesus just as much now as the moment when we first believed and received that gift. And so Paul is saying, in that same way, as you received Christ by grace through faith, that's the way that you must keep walking in him. So you don't receive Christ and become a Christian by grace through faith and then walk by works and your hard work and your own strength. We have to stay, what does he say? Rooted and built up in Christ. And our connection with Christ is always by grace through faith. And just as a review, probably for many of you, but that word grace, it means undeserved favor. It means God pouring out his favor upon us, not because we deserve it, but because of who he is and because of what Christ has done. And so that word grace means undeserved favor. And that's how we have to keep living, by grace through faith. And so we're rooted and built up in him, verse 7 says. Rooted, that's a planting word for you farmers or you people, you gardeners that love to do those things, or if you've planted trees. It's incredible the root system that trees develop to make them strong and to nourish them. And so we need to be rooted in Christ. We need to let our roots go down deep into the soil of Jesus and what he's done for us and the gospel and his word. And then it also uses this other expression, built up in him. And this is a building word for you carpenters out there, you designers. Things that we build have to have a foundation, and Christ is our foundation. And we can't move off the foundation. We have to be built up in him. And then the next phrase is established in the faith. And so the faith, when it's talked about like that in Scripture, is kind of all of God's word and what his people have experienced with him throughout time and have passed on. And so it's like the faith that we all hold together through his word and as we fellowship together by the Spirit. And so established in the faith. And then Paul emphasizes again the importance of this kind of body when he says, just as you were taught. So who would we be taught from? Well, from the church, from the people that God has gifted in the church, that he's given as gifts, right? The apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, and from one another as iron sharpens iron, and we dig into God's word together and we live life together and we hold each other accountable. And so as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up, established in the faith, just as you were taught. And then I love this last phrase, abounding in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is coming up this next week. And I hope that you will take time with your family, with your friends, to thank God for all of the blessings. Because as we abound in thanksgiving, and as our praises go up, we remember that it is by grace that we walk. And we remember that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And we remember to praise the Father of lights, with whom there is no shifting shadows. He's unchanging. He's good. And so please take time. And don't just do it at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an attitude that we're supposed to have every day as Christians, an attitude of gratitude, because that helps us align with God and remember who we need and who comes through for us and who provides for us and who is for us and with us. And so what a joy to have a loving Heavenly Father. And so we're going to move on now in verse 8. And here's our first warning. So as we're learning to walk in Jesus, Paul wants to give us, God wants to give us through Paul and his writing to this church in Colossae, he wants to give us three things to beware of, to watch out for. And it's like that trick in the deer hunting stand where you think you might see something, but then when it comes to light, it's not what you thought it was. And so there are empty things in this world that captivate us, but Paul's warning, no, don't go there. And so look at verse 8 with me. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Okay, he's going to go on about Jesus, and this is something I love that Paul does. he'll be talking about something, and then he'll mention Jesus, and then he like has to tell us about Jesus for a few verses. And so he's about to do that. But I want you to first, let's dig into this command. See to it that no one takes you captive. And Paul mentions a few things that can take us captive. Okay? He mentions philosophy. Okay? Now, philosophy, Paul is not saying that all philosophy is bad. Probably some of you took an intro to philosophy class in college. Or, you know, you are a philosopher. You enjoy thinking deeply about issues, asking questions, and considering the different angles. I enjoy that myself. So he's not saying philosophy in itself is bad, but he's saying that philosophy can captivate us, and we can think that we can come up with all these great explanations for the whys and the hows and the right answer to every question and all of these things. But if we're doing that apart from Christ, if we're doing that on our own power and authority, in our own reasoning, apart from God's word, apart from the body of Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit working through us and through others and through the word, then we're being captivated by something that is not Jesus. It's not helping us to stay rooted in him. It's not helping us to walk in Christ Jesus. Now, something that I tell the college students a lot, and I love this truth, is that all truth is God's truth. It doesn't matter where truth comes from. If it's true, it's God's truth. Because God is the author of the entire universe, the creator, and he's the author of truth. And so if it's true, it tells us something about God. Okay, so we should pursue truth as Christians, and we should welcome truth from all different sources. So from philosophy, from science, from archaeology, from history, we should welcome truth wherever we find it. But we should also be known as people who truly seek the truth, who don't propagate lies, who don't stand for lies, who root out even the half-truths that people can use to try to fool us or convince us. And so philosophy can sometimes just become this way of justifying whatever we would really want to be true or whatever we already thought before we started philosophizing. So we have to be careful that we don't get carried away and so enraptured by our own thinking and our own intelligence that we stray away from Jesus. And so see to it that no one takes you captive. And sometimes people try to take us captive by sounding really smart, by having great reasons, by But if their reasons are not rooted in Christ, if they're telling us half-truths and not the full truth, if they're telling us to disobey God's word or to violate our consciences, we have to beware. And then the next thing he says is empty deceit. And this is an interesting phrase, but I think of empty deceit. And, you know, we've just gone through a political season, and I'm not going to go off on either side. But we know that one of the things that's true about politics is there's all these empty promises. And so they may or may not be outright lies, but certainly politicians and all of us can make big claims that never get backed up. And so there's so often, again, it's like that deer stand picture. It promises this big buck, but it's really just a stick and some leaves. And I feel like the world presents so many things to us. Oh, you need this car. Oh, you need this beverage. Oh, you need these shoes, these clothes, this much money, this kind of lifestyle. And it promises us all these things, and it's just empty deceit. It won't make you happy. And I think of verses like Jeremiah 17:9 that talks about our hearts that are deceitful and desperately sick, or the deceitfulness of sin, and how easy it is to be taken in and captivated by these things that aren't leading us to life. Because Jesus said it very clearly. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he wasn't just talking about when you first trust in Jesus, because we're supposed to keep walking in Jesus as we received him. Jesus is our life for our whole life and for eternal life. It's all about Jesus. And that's where Paul is going in just a little bit. But there's a few more phrases. The next phrase in verse 8 is according to human tradition. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our human traditions, and we're entering a season that's full of traditions, right? So there's great traditions that we have, you know, but if we get so devoted to the traditions, we can miss the point. So this season in a pandemic, I know Thanksgiving or Christmas might look different. Maybe some of you will not be able to get together with either older or immunocompromised family members. You might have smaller gatherings. You might have people you know that are sick with COVID. Probably all of us have experienced losses of different kinds this past year. And so if we're so holding on to our traditions that when we don't have them, we can't be thankful to God anymore, something is wrong. Traditions are supposed to be about helping us glorify God. So I think it's always worth asking, do the traditions we have glorify God? Do your traditions help point you to Jesus and stay rooted and established in him? Or that are they really becoming a distraction from him? And so we don't want to be taken captive by human tradition. And there's all sorts of religious traditions that we have. Even as Protestants, we still have traditions that we do. And we can sometimes get all up in arms about, you know, even, what, we're not meeting in person anymore? Well, we have to be flexible, and we have to think about what's most loving. And different churches have done different things during this pandemic. But I think we need to assume the best of each other and not hold too tightly to our traditions, but keep doing things for God's glory and the sake of the gospel. And so, let's not be taken captive by philosophy or empty deceit or human tradition. And then the next phrase is, according to the elemental spirits of the world. Now that's another interesting phrase. It could be elemental principles, but as we're going to see later in the verse, there does seem to be some reference here too to kind of the demonic evil forces, the evil spiritual forces. And so we have to be aware that there's a real war in this world, that spiritual warfare is real. And in our modern society, I think we sometimes forget that there are spiritual realities and spiritual forces. And the Bible encourages us to be aware that there is a spiritual reality in a battle, but it never encourages us to seek out those forces. God uses angels as his messengers and as ministering spirits for our good. And there are demons. And certainly we saw Jesus and his apostles driving out demons and performing exorcisms and those types of things. And we do have authority over Satan and the demons through Christ, not our authority, but through Christ. But we're never called to seek those things out. We are called to stay rooted and grounded and established in Christ. And so that's the last thing that he says. He's basically saying, see to it that no one takes you captive by anything if it's not according to Christ. That's the last phrase in verse 8. And so let's not be taken captive. And I would ask you to consider, Hillside, what captivates you? Where is your attention going? What draws your attention day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment? There's so many things in our world that are screaming for our attention, that say, look at me, I can make you happy. I can give you what you're looking for. I can tell you the truth. I can look at. What are we captivated by? It's so easy to scroll through Facebook and keep looking. It's so easy to think that a Black Friday deal is going to make you happy. It's empty deceit. There's nothing wrong with getting a Black Friday deal, but don't think it can give you life. There's nothing wrong with being a part of Facebook, but don't think that you can bring salvation to yourself or others by scrolling through your Facebook feed. There is one Savior, and his name is Jesus. And may everything that we do be to his glory. And so, as we continue on, now Paul, now that he's mentioned Jesus, he's going to just revel in Jesus. And so, let's take a little break here to revel in Jesus as we read, starting in verse 9. For in him, Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. That's Jesus. Man, Paul is just saying, he says, don't be taken captive by these things. And then he's saying, be captivated by Christ. Look at everything he's done for you. Look at who he is. That's who he starts with. He starts with in verse 9. He is God. The whole fullness of deity, of godness, dwells in Jesus bodily in human form. The miracle of the incarnation, we should be captivated by that this Christmas and this Advent season. It's incredible that the God of the universe could be brought into a single cell in Mary and grow up as a baby and a little boy and then grow to be a man. And that God took on humanity, that he became one of us, is incredible. And then verse 10 says, you have been filled in him. In this God-man, you have been filled, and he is the head of all rule and authority. So if anyone else promises you rule and authority, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to seek that because we are filled in him who's already the head of all fullness and authority. No, I've got my fullness and authority. Thank you very much. And in him also it says we were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And so he brings up circumcision not to talk about the physical rite, but to talk about what God is doing spiritually in our lives. He's cutting out the bad, the sinful nature, the flesh, those earthly, worldly bad desires that just lead us to death and lead us astray. He's cutting those away in our life so that we can more fully and fully enjoy and glorify and be satisfied in Jesus. And so we were buried with Jesus in baptism. And again, that's what baptism pictures, this burying with Christ and then being raised to newness of life. And so we were raised with him, verse 12, through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And so even though we were dead, completely without hope, God made us alive when he saved us by grace through faith in Christ. And I love verse 14 and the end of verse 13, that all our trespasses are forgiven. And I love how he, this image, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. And so if you think when Christ was nailed to the cross, remember they put up a sign over him about the charges that he was being crucified for. And that's what this is picturing. There's this debt, this sign of all of the things that we have done wrong, all of the ways that we have failed, all of the things that we haven't done or have done that have not glorified God. And Jesus took that and he set it aside and he nailed it to the cross. He paid for it in his body for us. And then it talks about how God disarmed the rulers and authorities. And those rulers and authorities are those demonic forces we talked about earlier. And he put them to open shame. Death can't defeat Jesus. Sin can't defeat his people. Because Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because Jesus paid the full price for sin. And so God doesn't have to punish the sins of those who are trusting in Jesus anymore. Praise God. And so they're put to open shame because Jesus has triumphed. And so what an incredible reveling in Jesus Christ. And so now let's look at our second thing to avoid in verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. I love that. So let no one pass judgment on you. Let no one pass judgment on you. So this kind of goes back to that idea almost of it's related to the human tradition. Okay, but the first don't was don't be captivated by things that aren't Jesus. This second don't is don't let people judge you based on human standards. And so it's not an idea of standing up and fighting for our rights. In fact, I would say the Bible, in its broadest sense, encourages us to gladly lay down our rights as Christ did for the good of other people. So this isn't a fight for your rights, but it's a don't place yourself under their judgment. We all have voices that play in our heads, right? That say, you can't do that thing. Christians don't do that thing. How dare you think that you could, right? And sometimes those voices, sometimes it could be the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that because it's sin. And because sin is bad for you, it takes you away from God, and it doesn't glorify him. But sometimes those are human voices, and they're actually not anything found in the Bible. They're just made up rules. And so Paul is saying, don't place yourself under the judgment of silly man-made rules. And so he gives all these examples, questions of food and drink. And so, you know, one of the things that he writes about in other letters is food sacrificed to idols, right? Paul says, we know there's no such thing as idols. They're not really gods, so we don't even have to really worry about them. But someone might be like, hey, that was offered to an idol. And if their conscience is disturbed, then we give up our right and privilege to eat meat that we know doesn't matter for the sake of their conscience. But we also don't let someone pass judgment on us because we might be eating meat that was sacrificed to an idol. So I hope that kind of makes sense. So in questions of food and drink, or, you know, I'm just going to go there. Christians, some Christians have made up a rule that drinking alcohol is wrong. That's not a scriptural command. Jesus drank alcohol. Jesus turned water into wine. We are told in Psalms that wine is a good gift from God given to gladden the hearts of men. I don't choose to drink alcohol, but it's not because I think it's a sin. It's just because that's a choice I've made in my life. And God may lead you as an individual to not drink alcohol. And so if you can't drink alcohol in faith because God has convicted you of that, don't. Paul also tells us, God tells us that anything done apart from faith is sin. But that doesn't mean that we can make something that God has convicted us of into a universal rule for all Christians. Can drinking alcohol lead to bad things? Yes. That's why drunkenness is a sin and prohibited in Scripture. But drinking alcohol is something that God leaves up to between him and each individual believer. And so we should not put ourselves under the judgment of people who are saying, oh, you're a Christian, you can't drink. That's not true. Or he says with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. So, oh, what? You're doing that on Sunday? Well, we have freedom in Christ. Yes, rest is a good principle for us. In the town that I grew up in, when we first moved there, our family, I grew up going to church every Sunday, and my parents were Christians, praise God, before I was born, and they raised me to know Jesus from an early age, and so I'm blessed with a heritage of faith. But there was one Sunday afternoon that my dad was out mowing the lawn, and we actually got a phone call at our house, and someone said, we don't do that here. That's the kind of judgment that we don't need to submit ourselves to or subject ourselves to, nor should we be subjecting other people to that kind of judgment. And so he also mentions a new moon or a Sabbath or festivals and like thinking that there are these special holy days where we have to do these things. And then again, that gets back into the human traditions. Every day is a gift from God. Every day we are to rejoice and be glad in him. This day is the day that the Lord has made. Not just Sunday, not just Christmas Eve, not just Christmas Day, not just Easter, whenever it happens to fall. Like, you know, like these are days where we remember things and celebrate things, but they're not a more holy day. And so we need to be careful about putting ourselves under false judgments or judging others falsely. And I love what he says about 17. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. All this stuff that we do is supposed to be pointing us to Jesus. And it reminds us of his first coming, or it helps us hope in his second coming and points us to heaven and to our hope that we have in him. And so don't get caught up in the details. Get caught up in what they're supposed to be pointing us towards. Be captivated by Christ. And then verse 18 has our last don't. Okay? And so far we've seen that we're supposed to walk in Jesus by grace through faith, the same way we received him, being rooted and built up and established as we were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And we're not supposed to be taken captive by anything. We're not supposed to let anyone pass judgment on us in regards to these things that are just supposed to point us to Jesus. And verse 18, our last don't. Let no one disqualify you. And that word disqualify, it means defraud. It's like getting ripped off. Don't let anyone rip you off. Okay? Don't let anyone rip you off. And how would they do that? Verse 18 continues, insisting on asceticism. Asceticism is this, like, when we really treat our bodies very poorly and we, like, We starve ourselves, or we work so hard, or we go sit off for days and days and days, or it's like thinking that if we beat up our bodies enough, we're being more spiritual. Now, fasting, solitude, silence, those are all good things. But again, we can be taken captive by those things and think that the more we do them, the more we're earning favor from God. No. Spiritual disciplines of any kind are just ways that we connect to and with God. But they don't earn us any points with God. It's so that we can grow closer to Him. And so he says, asceticism, don't let anyone disqualify you or defraud you, rip you off by insisting on harsh bodily treatment or worship of angels, he says, or going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, Jesus, from whom the whole body, that's all of us, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. So don't let people tell you, oh, I've got a secret. Oh, God revealed this secret thing to me that you've never heard before, that's not in the Word, but it'll get you favor with God. If you give me $1,000 today, God will bless you tenfold tomorrow. No, no. Don't be taken captive. Don't be ripped off by false promises and empty deceit when they're not holding fast to the head. It's in Christ that we grow. It's by the Spirit. It's with our brothers and sisters. Don't be captivated. And so Paul goes on in verse 20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, to worldly thinking and principles and forces, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. So Paul isn't saying, sweet, no rules for Christians. We are to follow God's laws and God's commands. His word is a gift to us, and his commands are all for our good, and they reveal who he is to us. They help us follow Jesus. What he's saying is, don't follow man-made silly rules that aren't rooted in Scripture, that don't flow from God and His character. Don't obey made-up, man-made rules according to human precepts and teachings. And then verse 23. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. Self-made anything is not Christianity. Christianity is not about me and what I can do and have done and will do for God. It's about what God has done for me in Christ and what He is going to do through me by the power of the Spirit. And as I stay rooted and built up and established in the faith by God's grace. Christianity is all about God's glory. Christianity focuses on Christ and the gospel and God and who He is. It's all about His glory. This is not our story. It's His story. And we are blessed that He allows us to be a part of it. And so, all these little rules that we try to make up to impress each other, or to try to appear godly, Paul's saying they have the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And the flesh is that sinful nature that still lives in us. And he's saying all these silly rules, they don't work. Only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and by the working of the Spirit can we slay the sin that indwells us, that part of us that that wants to do bad things, even when we feel God and the Spirit leading us to do good things. It's a real fight, but we don't fight in our power and strength. And that's what Paul is pleading with us. God is pleading with us today not to try to live the Christian life in our own power and strength. It's a treadmill that leads to nowhere and that just is exhausting. But there is an endless power supply in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we stay connected to Him. As He said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. The Christian life is about sticking with Jesus. We don't graduate from grace. We don't move beyond Christ. And so, who or what is captivating or enslaving you today that's not Jesus? Because we are supposed to be captivated by Christ, and that's where we will receive life from Him. Whose judgment are you subjecting yourself to? Because we have one judge, God, and it's to Him that we are accountable. And so we are to be receiving our direction, our marching orders, our instructions, both the do's and the don'ts, from God. And who or what is ripping you off? What's trying to defraud you of hope, of joy, of peace? For some of us, I think this is going to mean some radical cutting out and cutting off. Maybe we have to get off of social media. Maybe we have to stop watching so much news. Maybe we have to stop talking to a person that we gossip with. Or maybe we need to repent to that person and say, I'm sorry. I've been talking bad about people and I need to stop. And let's help each other do that. Maybe there's traditions that we have that we're holding tightly to that for whatever reason aren't working anymore, and maybe we need to let them go. What's captivating or enslaving you? Whose judgment are you subjecting yourself to, and what is ripping you off? And I just want to end this message by encouraging us all to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith. And so, if you're listening or watching today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do that right now. There's no aisle you have to walk or card you have to sign or magic prayer you have to say. You just have to confess that you're a sinner and that you can't earn salvation on your own. And then simply receive God's free gift of salvation by trusting in Jesus Christ, His life, death, and resurrection, that He died on the cross to pay for your sins, and that He rose from the dead, and simply trust in Him as your Savior. And you can receive Christ Jesus the Lord and join in the great adventure of walking in Him, of following Him. And you can have that free gift of eternal life. That's life with Jesus starting now and lasting forever. And so if you want to talk to someone about that, I would encourage you to reach out to the church here, or you can reach out to me. My phone number is 920-229-3762. My email is luke@hishousewisconsin.org, or you can go to hillsideassembly.org and be contacted by someone through there, and we need each other to keep walking in Jesus. So may you be blessed today, and I just want to close us with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you, God, the one true triune God. Thank you that salvation is from you. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you willingly laid down your life for us and that you were able to lay it down and you had the authority to pick it back up again. Thank you that the full price has been paid for our sins. And that for all those who trust in you alone, Jesus, we have the gift of eternal life and we have the gift of your Spirit through whom we can be empowered to follow you, to walk in your ways. So please, Jesus, captivate us with you and nothing else. Cut out anything else in our life. Show us, let your light shine and reveal all of the false promises, all of the empty deceit, all of the man-made rules and traditions, and all of the things that don't lead to life. Let your light show us how silly those things are. And may we be captivated by you over and over again. May you lead us in your ways to walk with you. Thank you, God, for this time together in your word. I pray your blessing on all those who are hearing this message. I pray your blessing on Hillside Assembly of God Church here in Ripon, Wisconsin. May we connect with you and each other and grow in you, Jesus, and go and tell others and love others in your name. I pray that your gospel would spread forth in Ripon and in Wisconsin and to the ends of the earth. I pray, God, for those who are suffering with COVID or who are on the front lines, our health workers, our rulers, our leaders, our decision makers in our schools, in our government, police, all the different people who are being affected by this pandemic or who are trying their best to help us get through it. I pray for those who have lost loved ones, God, for those who are sick and recovering. Just pray your grace and mercy. We pray that you would draw people to you even through trials. God, help us to live in your light and to be lights for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful week.